Just a note while everyone's getting settled in that this service is being recorded. And while we're making our way to our seats, we can enjoy the beautiful music played by Amber. This is entitled Prairie Sunrise by Melody Bober. Still have folks try to make their way in, so scooch to the middle if you can, raise a hand if you've got an empty seat, and we'll get everybody filled in here. There we go. All right. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to this building dedication day for Prairie Unitarian Universalist Society. This is a big deal today. There we go. It's been a long time coming. My name is Reverend Matt, and my pronouns are he and him, and I am honored to be serving as the contract minister here for this church year. We welcome all of you to our service, especially those who are searching for a spiritual home. Many of us were once too, seeking something larger than ourselves to which we could belong. A sense of rootedness to hold us as we create meaning together. We do that well here, though not always perfectly. In this congregation, we strive not for perfection, but for authenticity and connection. Whether it's your first time with us or your 100th time, we hope that you'll find here questions that stretch you, people to befriend you, and values that challenge you to join us in loving boldly, living justly, and welcoming openly. This building that we dedicate today is built on the ancestral Ho-Chunk land, a place their nation has called Dajob, or Four Lakes, for many, many centuries. With a spirit of humility and openness, we pledge to do the hard work of reflection and truth-telling so that we can move forward in transformational healing. We have a few announcements this morning. Next Sunday, it's very exciting. It's our intergenerational animal blessing service. So kids, get ready for this. See the news, our website, and our Facebook page for more information about this fun event this week. Directly after this service will be a live mini auction little history. We had been planning to try to do some fundraising things and then the scheduling and the timing. So we've got an auction and we've got raffles and we've got building dedications and we've got the whole community here. So this is exactly how it was supposed to be. So there's a little auction right after the service. Some people I think will run and start to put things together and prepare for our joyous festivities. And we'll have music and food and a raffle going till 2 p.m. There are also 7 spots around the 2 buildings for a self-guided tour. And there's a little puzzle there. So if you can write down the 7 letters on the sheets that you get and figure out the word and tell Renee or Karen, Renee and Karen, can you raise your hands? So they know who you are. Very good. You can win a prize. All right. Couple of more announcements. We are looking for someone to display their artwork on the back room of the meeting, the back wall of the meeting room. Contact Suzanne. Suzanne, there you are. That's Suzanne. If you have any artwork that you'd like to display, I think this should involve kids. I think I've seen some kids make some really good art in this. So don't be afraid. Don't be shy. If you've got some artwork, we'd love to share it with the community. Speaking of art, the delayed CD release party for Dan Proud's collections of new songs will be held on Sunday, October 2nd, and that is an event we have all been looking forward to. You're invited to celebrate community and the journey through the pandemic in song with Dan and his friends, including Vets on Frets. The party is 2:30 to 5 on October 2nd, and it's at, how do I pronounce this? Demetril Park off Packers Ave. I'm sure Dan, raise your hand, Dan. I'm sure Dan can help you find out where to go because we want to celebrate that beautiful music. Our chalice lighting today is We Bless This Sanctuary by Sandra Fees, and it will be read by Renee, who uses she, her pronouns. Oh,
it's the whole family.
Family lighting. We light this chalice to honor our past, for the founders and prophets of Unitarian Universalism who paved the way for our liberal religion in the world, and also for the individuals who gave birth to our religious community here. We light this chalice to honor our present, for our search for truth and meaning, our nurture of diverse spiritual paths, and our service to the cause of love and justice, acknowledging our sacred responsibility to live our principles with integrity. We light this chalice to honor our future, for a kinder and fairer world, for a people and a planet made whole by the spirit of life.
We're recording, so.
These are my 2 children, but we're recording, so they shall remain nameless. But you can ask me after we're done, and I'll introduce them to you. I blame my mom and her candle for not lighting. We're gonna fix it. It'll light. It's gonna happen. And it's a really cute candle. Look at that nice candle, Mom. There we go. Woohoo! It happened.
Our opening music is Simple Gifts, Pachelbel's Canon by Johann Pachelbel, arranged by Donald Moore, performed by the Prairie Choir, accompanied by Carl Wacker, Nancy Wunderlin, and Heidi Hughes. I heard this morning. It's quite beautiful. Enjoy.
Oh,
those of you who aren't always here, now is the time in our service for our story of all ages, for all ages. Our story today is titled So They Build by Bert Kitchen and will be read by our Director of Religious Exploration, Alice Mann. So we invite all the children or the young at heart, which includes me, so I'm going to be up here. Come on up if you want to see a little bit better. And after the story, we will be singing our youth out to their classes. And the words, if you're not familiar, are right in your order of service under Children's Recessional. So take it away, Alice.
All right. This is the book, And So They Build. Can you guys hear me? This is the book, And So They Build, written and illustrated by Bert Kitchen. The animals in this book find ways to build that solve their problems, kind of like the way people at Prairie found ways to solve the problems our building used to have. This book is too long to read the whole thing right now, so I'm just going to show you some of the pictures and tell you some of the facts from it. A paper wasp is about to start her colony, and so she builds. She uses her jaws to scrape any wood that she can find. Then she mixes it with her saliva and uses the mixture to make a nest that hangs from a plant stem or board. She lays an egg in each hexagonal cell. An Asian tailor bird will be safer from predators if she hides her nest, and so she builds. She chooses large living leaves on a tree. She pulls the edges together and pokes holes down the edges of her beak. Then she pushes bits of spider webs and plant fibers through the holes to stitch them together and builds her nest inside. Australian mallee fowl are preparing to lay eggs, and so they build a mound. The father digs a hole, fills it high with vegetation, lets the rain dampen it, then covers it with a mound of sand. The vegetation inside builds up warmth as it rots. The mother lays eggs in the mound. The male bird uses his tongue to monitor the temperature in the mound and be sure it's just right. He adds or removes sand as necessary until the eggs hatch. In West Africa, Cyobertrum termites are in danger of getting soaked by rain, and so they build a special nest. They use their saliva to glue together tiny pellets of soil. They build a column to lift the nest above the ground. And on top, they build an umbrella to keep the nest dry. Boll and doily spiders need to trap their food, so they build two webs, the upper one like a boll and the lower one like a flat doily. The spider often hangs between the two webs. When an insect gets trapped in the bowl, the spider pulls it down to the lower web and eats it. A bower bird is looking for a mate, and so he builds a bower of sticks and decorates the ground with whatever bright things he can find. Feathers, shells, flowers, and even scraps of cloth. He paints the inside walls with blueberry juice. He does a courtship dance on this stage to attract a female. That's all for now. This book is in our library downstairs, so if you want to read the whole thing, you can find it there.
I think each of those is a Prairie member. That's how they roll. All right, let's sing our children out with those words in the order of service.
Go on your way, may you be filled with gladness.
So, this next section was supposed to be a centering activity led by our current board president and longtime, very dedicated member, Kathy Converse, who unfortunately cannot be with us here today because, as so many Prairie members do, she was helping a member that got COVID, and now she's been exposed. And now she can't be here today. So that selfless act is just another example of how this community takes care of each other. In her place, though, we have another long-term, very dedicated member. Her husband, Randy, is going to help us with the centering words, and he will read what she wrote. Come on up, Randy.
Thank you, Matt, for that introduction. When Kathy's doing things for Prairie, she... We often consider myself her chief of staff, so in her stead, I will read her words. Kathy and I have been attending Prairie for over 30 years. This building, the people that come and go, and the time shared here have been an integral part of our family's life. These words by Dory Summers sum up our feelings nicely in dedicating this space. We, all of us, build houses for our dreams. The masonry and lumber, glass and tile, a solid form wherein we see our hopes, a shelter and protection for our growth. This house shall be a dwelling place for courage, for integrity, and for love. Engendered, nourished by a family that speaks of we and mean all humankind. These walls shall represent the privacy and dignity of individuals. The open doors, a welcome to all people, all ages and all generations. The windows shall keep the light of inquiry illuminating from outside and within. May all words spoken here be born of love, and energy rekindle in the hearts of those who dreamed this house, who plied the tools and paid the price to actualize the dream. May dreaming never cease for those within, who know the world to be a troubled place, but dare to struggle with imperfectness toward that better hope, that better day. Let memories add warmth, a heritage, a quilted patchwork stitched with history, a history of kindliness, of daring for the good, of funny moments, jokes, smiles, and tears. This is a precious place, as every home that shelters those who love and strive and share. Its blessing is in lives that are within, in living, learning, and caring.
Thank you, Randy. And thank you, Kathy, and everyone else joining from home. Even though you can't be here, you are in our hearts today for sure. I will now invite you into a moment of quiet meditation. The intention here is to open our hearts and our minds and become present here in this space, in this moment, to become ready to receive the message of joy that I know is about to be shared. for this very special presentation today. We will have several prayer remembers who were involved in the remodel we are celebrating to discuss a brief history of the building and then changes that they made, all of you made, with before and after pictures. These members and also others on the building committee and subcommittee will be available to talk afterwards for additional questions and information. There are a lot of great stories to hear, so seek out the people that you see up here and learn more. So come on up, folks. We'd love to hear what you have to show us.
Well, I'm Mary Mullen. I'll be narrating the history slides, which is the first four after this. Change. Okay, so we first gathered in the 1960s and 70s, and then in 1980, we purchased this building, and the backstory is this. The formation of Prairie in 1967 was a deliberate effort on the part of First Unitarian Society of Madison, because FUS was overrun with children, 600 of them. A family a week had to be turned away there. Now, it's also true that a sort of a dissatisfied breakaway group of FUS folks had been meeting in each other's homes. They didn't like FUS's edifice complex, and they wanted the minister, Max Gabler, to take a position against the Vietnam War before he did. But these two groups did come together. Prairie first rented locations, four different ones, getting kicked out of those places as they needed space for their own activities. Prairie folks got tired of moving. This is the building that we found. Next one. In that last slide, you could see that that building needed a lot of work. It was a fuel oil hog. Al Nettleton remembered that just in January of 1980, the oil furnace went through 1,200 gallons. Prairie put in a gas furnace and then insulated those cement blocks with urethane foam and applied stucco. Our building took on a Southwest look. But we soon found we were outgrowing our new home and recognized other problems. In 1983, an average of 35 kids attended. The building was not wheelchair accessible. It had steps up from the public sidewalk, more steps to the porch, and then more inside to get into this meeting room. We hired an architect. The first plans came in way over the expected $85,000 estimate. Plans were pared down. In the end, we changed the entrance to Crawford Drive from Winona to Crawford, eliminated all the steps, got a big upstairs kitchen, a pretty big lobby, two restrooms upstairs, and a ground entry into the basement. Interest was 10% on our loan of $66,000. Next slide. This slide illustrates one of the changes during the 1988 remodeling. The only kitchen had been in the basement, in what I call the long classroom. Despite that, we had many summer potlucks served out of that kitchen and washed dishes by hand afterward. I fondly remember going downstairs to the basement and standing in line visiting. The remodeling in 1988 gave us a big kitchen on the main floor. It had a big window into the meeting room, just like now, and a counter to serve from. There was also a small window into the foyer. Our new kitchen had an island, and the sink was in that island. Sometime later, we removed the island and put the sink against the west wall. When we bought the building, I believe it had one restroom and it was on this first floor, none in the basement. A big improvement was putting women's and men's restrooms upstairs and one in the basement. No changing tables were supplied. We also got the basement entrance on the Winona side. Next slide. It seems that our congregation has constantly had buildings on its mind. Talk about moving or building a new building began 22 years ago. When we realized that the number of kids was diminishing, we thought we had to grow or die, and one idea was to buy land, build a new building, and attract new people. So we did that in 2005. It was just east of Fish Hatchery Road. But you guessed it, building plans turned out to be way too expensive. The curtailed plans meant that our new building would be hardly any bigger than what we already had. What to do? We stopped the plans and ended up selling that land 3 years later, 2008, but we still needed space. Remodeling was discussed. Then in late 2012, the neighbor at 2006 Winona, right next door, died, giving us the chance to buy his house, which it turns out used to be the parsonage that belonged to this church anyway. Prairie decided to buy if we could raise $100,000 for purchase and remodeling. President Barb Park put Patty and me in charge of fundraising. In just weeks, people were so generous and we had all the needed pledges, $100,000. The purchase was made July 1, 2013, and remodeling that building took 2 years. We used the annex almost every day. It was a good purchase.
Hello. So then there was discussions about how this space did not really meet our needs. And we talked about remodeling. We voted at the parish meeting in January of, I think it was 2019, that we voted to remodel this building. So there was a building committee formed. I'm not going to read the slide. They're all up there. And there's also, we had an architect and we had builders as well. So next slide. And then during the remodel, we have to go somewhere for our Sunday services. So we looked at several places, and thank you for the people that put their time into hunting down spots for us. We started the summer at the annex, and it was tight. It was a tight squeeze, but we made it, and RE went on the road. So every week they went to different places like parks and splash pads and all over Madison. So some families and people went with them, and others stayed at the annex for the Sunday service. And then starting in August, at first I think they just donated, but then we ended up giving them a small fee because it was really generous at Oak Park in Nakoma. So August 4th, 2019 was our first service there. And that was really beautiful space, worked really well. Unfortunately, the next year, COVID hit, and they're like an assisted living facility, and they're like, nope. And we said, we understand. So we went to Zoom for the next kind of year or however long that 2 years, I don't know, time all blurs during the pandemic. So then we were on Zoom. So next slide.
I'm Al Nettleton, a long, long time Prairie member. And I want to bring up the little pointer and turn that on so that we can, yeah, it does work. The goal of all of this was to make it a much more pleasant, open, lighter environment. And starting on the outside, the commons area had the old dark siding on the inside that our original architect on the remodeling did, and we liked it very much, but it got to be old. And we decided to pull that out. We also decided to start right about here, where the outside wall used to go across from our commons area, and add a handicap accessible entry, new windows, and expand the area so that we could have a better flow of traffic and a more welcoming environment. And so rather than watching me or the slides, look around this room, and we'll note that several things have happened. In the back corner, we took out the doors that swung together in the middle and created a much more opening and inviting entrance into this room. We added a TV. A longtime member of Prairie donated that TV, and we now we actually have the ability to create a crying room if we need out there, but normally it's used to display little comments about Prairie and photos for your enjoyment and information as you enter into Prairie. The next slide shows the restrooms, and of course, the window that was put in the original remodeling got new covering on it to make it so that when you're sitting on the toilet, you're not highly visible outside. That was an interesting architectural challenge that Todd Barnett helped us solve. But most importantly, we created these non-sex-identified restrooms, and Karen Deaton helped design the signs that we have that sit here with the symbols representing changing table, the unisex, and the fact that they are accessible restrooms. And I had the privilege of printing those on my 3D printer to hang up here. So next slide shows the kitchen. And the reason we took out that island in the kitchen was because the countertop was totally disintegrated from water that had seeped under the formica, and it needed to be removed. And we did reposition the dishwasher, maybe even got a new one in the process, a domestic home dishwasher that's highly energy efficient. But we needed to make some changes. The space is the same. The stove is exactly the same spot, but we added a new microwave over it. We added the hose over the sink to help in cleaning and washing dishes. And when it gets to the issue of washing dishes, this dishwasher is a commercial style dishwasher. Now, the kitchen is not fully a commercial kitchen, but is available to produce and warm food and fire suppression system over the stove. But most importantly, the old dishwasher behind Mary's knees here took a little over 2 hours to do it because it was an energy efficient dishwasher. The new one, we can do 20 loads an hour. I'd really like to thank the kitchen subcommittee that I chaired. We have Nancy Wonderland and Barbara Chatterton Fry and Renee Descard, Randy Converse, myself, and Tom Robinson, who chaired the building committee in the whole process of doing our remodeling. And look around this meeting room again, and on the ceiling we had popcorn plaster that contained, thank you Bob Park for testing it or getting it tested, contained a large amount of asbestos. It was fine as long as we didn't fry it, because it was friable. And we also had tile on the floor that was asbestos vinyl. And fortunately, those two products are no longer on the market, but way back in the 1950s, when the Wesleyan Methodist Church built this building, that was a common type of material to put into spaces. And the wall decorations designed by Todd Barnett and John Gernand helped us design the wood to hang on the wall and create this, hopefully much more inviting and welcoming and pleasant environment to be in. And finally, our meeting room, you notice the old paneling, the old ceiling, the lighting changed, the fans came down and have been replaced by our conditioning vents that are up along the top here, and the air return for the air conditioning at the front of the room. So we got new blinds. The room can be darkened. Thank you to our design committee for coming up with those. But most importantly, a big change. We got plugs along these walls so we can plug electrical appliances and devices in. And we also got improvements in the audiovisual equipment, but those are to be discussed on the next slides.
Hi, everybody. My name is John Wonderland. I've been a member since 2014. Several technology improvements were made for our remodel. Al worked with the builders to figure out all the plugs that we needed for the sound and video system, which include more streamlined connections for the speakers and microphones. In addition, we permanently mounted the projector and it have the screen in front, which automatically lowers and raises, which is very convenient. We have a new main microphone and an all new hearing loop system for folks with cochlear implants, which also needed all new wiring into our existing soundboard. Also, when we were designing the new system in 2018, 2019, nobody had heard of COVID-19 or Zoom. So we made some tweaks. This wire on the front here allows us to tie the Zoom system directly into the soundboard, which hopefully makes a much a better solution for people on Zoom. And then we also have the ability, as Al mentioned, in the crying room, people can also see the Zoom screen so they can monitor the service. Next slide. In planning for the acoustics of the new space, we had a range of needs from reverb to reverb for music to lack of reverb for conversation. So I don't think anybody was completely happy with our final solution, but that means it was a good compromise. Tom Dish, who's here, helped us design the acoustical space. And as part of that design, the committee came up with the ability to put in carpeting instead of a hard surface, which really helped us, allowed us to have a little bit of reverb without a lot. And I feel like the final solution was a very good compromise. Next slide. And because of our new carpeted floor, we no longer had a place for dance. So we had to, luckily through a very generous donation, we were able to purchase this modular dance floor, and it's stored in the back, and it can be assembled as needed and is all contained in the back closet.
You could come up here, Tom.
For those of us wearing either hearing aids or cochlear implants and have a telequel system on your hearing devices, the streaming system for that is working excellent. I've got it turned on in both ears, and I am hearing just perfectly in here.
Yay. Next slide. My name is Karen Deaton, and my pronouns are she, her, hers. Here's what we did to improve the religious exploration area where the children's programming happens downstairs. And speaking of accessibility issues in the hearing aid, we had a bunch of accessibility issues. The entrance to downstairs was too steep, and the stairs to the basement were also pretty steep and hard for little kids to handle. So in addition, the bathroom was too small for wheelchair access, and all the classroom doors downstairs were too narrow for wheelchair access. So the building expansion allowed a new stairway farther out to the east, which has a more gradual slope and it's brighter because of windows. And that also allowed us to enlarge the bathroom. All the classroom doors were widened, and the entrance has a longer and more gradual sidewalk, so it's ADA compliant now too. Everything downstairs is up to code and ADA compliant, so we can welcome people with mobility issues into our RE space now. We also put in a child height sink to give accessibility to the people who are too tiny to reach for their hand washing and getting water. Next slide. This is the kitchen. The downstairs kitchen kind of needed updating. Our very old cabinets and counters had some issues, including safety issues. If you pulled the drawer a little too far, it could fall out. And the counters had that old metal edging, which had a tendency to pop up places that were sharp. So we replaced the cabinets and counters with the remodel. The new one is down there. The biggest change you'll see is that opening was removed. When we moved the stairway out to the east, we had space to make a hallway to access the bathroom. And so this and the big hole there could be closed. That gained us some storage and counter space. There was no vent hood over the stove before, and you know, sometimes we would burn things. So that's an improvement. And we also got more electrical outlets downstairs. Next slide. So though a lot of people worked to make the downstairs space welcoming, it was a little bit dingy and institutional looking. A longtime member told me once that their child didn't like to come to Prairie because it was like a dungeon downstairs, which is an extreme reaction, but we did several things to make the main downstairs space brighter and more attractive. You can see the drop ceiling partially used to cover the windows. The drop ceiling in the big main space was removed. And we used to have fluorescent lights that were kind of flickery and buzzy, and now we have more efficient lights that are brighter and quieter and just generally great. You can see the vinyl room dividers, the folding room dividers, that some of us had really felt were quite ugly. And those were replaced with a wall and sliding doors that actually help contain the noise better than the old system. Next. Okay, I put the wrong people in this slide. Everybody who was on the RE committee when we were planning the remodel was involved in planning the remodel. These are the people who were on the Religious Education Exploration Committee the year after that, more recently. So, not on the committee. Jesse was not on the committee. Carl and Paula were, Peggy was, Holly Tellender, our previous DRE was, and I was. And we had a lot of ideas, and there was a lot of compromise to reach a really happy solution. Next slide. I also represented landscaping concerns on the building committee. And a big concern was that we used to get flooding in the basement when there was a heavy rainwater would come in around the basement entrance. So there was a plan to make a rain garden. As construction was going on, we could see that it was not really going to be able to absorb water quickly enough. And the solution was that the excavators went down farther, punched through the clay, and now the water goes down to a sand layer, which is really effective. Then otherwise, the landscape work was mostly reconstructing areas that had been damaged in the remodel. So we replanted the prairie on the South Hill. We planted the rain garden with plants that also serve as pollinator support. And there was a large area that was torn up in the backyard that we reseeded with turf grass. Next slide, and here are the people who worked. Martin handled irrigation masterfully. Barb Park and Kathy Converse and I went shopping for plants and planted them and have also done a lot of weeding. And Andy Garst was coerced into also helping with weeding and seeding. And so that was, it's all a big group effort. And I'm done.
Okay, I am Heidi Hughes, pronouns she, her, and we only have two more slides to go. We're almost there. And I just want to make mention to Karen Deaton. I mean, we had this really huge problem with the design wasn't, we were still going to get water. And she was really on that and said, we have to redo this and we have to make it right. And so applause to Karen for doing that and making it good. I was on the committee because I was kind of interested in design and thought it might be fun. And then then there's like a million decisions to make, right? Like with any remodeling project, as you know, if you do your house, there's like color and what are we going to do with the wood and the walls and what stain are we going to have and what do we want? So we all knew on this committee, and there's a picture of us somewhere, that we wanted an open, clean, beautiful, new, modern space. And I think we achieved that. But I just want to talk a few minutes about, I got to talk fast, the design behind us. So Todd Barnett brought us ideas about like, well, what do you want to do? You can do anything up here. We could do stone at one time we were considering. We looked at all these pictures. And then he drew this very abstract prairie grass design. And we all kind of sort of thought, oh, that's cool. We kind of like this. Well, lo and behold, in 2019, we were fortunate enough to have John and Suzanne Grenant come to our congregation, and they are artists, and John has done millions, not millions, but lots and lots of work with wood. He's incredible. He took an abstract drawing of the architect and made this real. He knew how to do it. He did it. It was just amazing. I couldn't believe it. And then Barbara Chatterton and I, you know, were worrying about, like, what color should we use? How many colors? Should we really use green? And just, you know, and Suzanne just said, and I'm being flagged, it'll be okay, I'll help. And so they, you know, they did this, and they did it well. And then, you know, so many people were involved, and the Wonderlands came in and filled all the holes and then made it all pretty. Out in the foyer, we redesigned, you know, the name tags and everything, trying to make it look less eyesore-ish. And so, yeah, come talk to me or any of us on the committee. The next slide is there too. So all of us, we kind of, yeah, and just everybody was involved. Christina Robotka is a former member. She was our intern, and she does for her work interior design. And it was always lovely when I could say, is this really going to look good, Christina? Is this good? And she goes, oh, yeah, it'll be fine. So, oh, yeah. And Paula Pajars is not in the picture, but she was instrumental, too, in our interior design committee. So, unfortunately, she was not in our picture. And Nevena was a whiz at finding us all kinds of stuff. Okay.
You read my mind. I was going to say, I've spent the last 2 or 3 months just meeting every week with the team, and we're going to applaud for them at the end here, that set up the rest of this day and the celebrations and all that kind of stuff. And when you see what it takes to just put, like, we just spent 10 minutes on work that took years and years and years and years. So what I really want is a real round of applause for yourselves and for this community for what you have accomplished in this building space. And I believe Tom Robinson. Tom, didn't you chair the whole thing? Yes. Thank you, Tom. Thank you, Tom. All right. We have a lot to get through today. We're going to get to the business, one little piece of business, and now we are going to get into our offering. This quarter, we are sharing our donations with Wilma's Fund, which provides assessment and assistance to LGBTQ+ people who are experiencing homelessness, as well as support to prevent homelessness in that population. And our offertory will be Sonata Number 8, Adagio Cantabile by Beethoven. Perhaps that's what it's called, something like that, performed by Amber. Thank you. Thank you, Amber. In addition to presiding over this service, the committee that developed today's program asked me to use this next bit of time to offer a blessing to this newly refurbished building. As I thought about that task, I began to wonder if that's really the best use of this time. Because you see, I'm quite sure the blessing has already been granted to this building. As you've just heard, this community has been pouring its heart and soul and resources and love and muscle and sweat into this building for a very, very, very long time. This building isn't just the result of a single visionary or some capitalist venture, or even some short-sighted church committee trying to put their mark on the congregation's history. And it's not just built with wood and bricks and nails and paint. This building is a living testament to all of the people that have sought refuge in this unique community of seekers over the years. In a world that seems more divided, with problems that seem more and more insurmountable at the human scale, this building creates a space where folks gather each week to just look around and say, no matter what happens, I know I am going to be all right, because I am here and you are here and I've got your back and I know you've got mine. This building is more like a sandbox, where an entire community comes together to practice what it takes for a group of individuals intentionally practicing a set of principles to turn its dreams into a brighter tomorrow into reality. This building represents the vision of a community that deeply considers its responsibilities as stewards of the wisdom and gifts that have been passed down by all those that came before. It represents a peoples that are willing to wrestle with more challenging aspects of their collective history and to share the lessons learned for the benefit of all those that come after. In offering this blessing on this newly rekindled building, let this home continue to be a refuge for all that come seeking a safe place to land, just as the prairie name implies. Let this building continually expand, welcoming any and all who come looking for the gifts that can be found within. In a world that has become characterized by factions and heated rhetoric and fake news, let this building continue to be a place where citizens can come together and practice the increasingly difficult to find art of compromise, which we heard was what made this place possible. If I were to offer this building a blessing, it would be that this home becomes a place where a community comes to raise its children, to help them explore the questions that will help spur us to create the kind of future we all dream about. The kind of future where we know that we are not alone, because we know that we are but one strand of a completely interconnected web, where what happens to me happens to you, and what happens to you most surely impacts my well-being as well. If I was to bless this building, it would be to share a wish that this space will always throw open its welcoming doors to all that pass this way and says, "You matter. Come on in, sit for a spell. Tell me what's on your heart. Let me share with you what is on mine." And on this day, when this community celebrates its accomplishments, my final blessing would be that this building will continue on for many years to come as a place where friends come together to laugh and to play and to sing and, yes, to dance. And now that this phase of this work is done, and that my talking is almost done, let this building be a place where people remember to take the time to enjoy and revel in the miracle of this precious life that we have all been given. I often end my remarks by saying, "Blessed be and may it be so." I say this here in this community each time with confidence, because I know that this community will make it so, the way it always has and always will continue to make blessings together. Our closing music is number 308 in the Gray Hymnal. And I understand there's a history of this song. I believe this song was used to dedicate, was it First? First You, many, many years ago. It's entitled "The Blessings of Earth and Sky," and it will be accompanied by Amber. Rise in body and spirit as you are willing and able, and help us make some joyous noise. Now, before we move into our festivities today, of which there will be many, one final round of applause for the three folks that really helped make today's events possible. Patty Stockdale, Chris Porter, where's Chris? She's outside. And Suzanne Gernat, who is back here. Thank you very much. And now we're going to drop right into our live auction. Take it away, Orange. And if you've got stuff you've got to do to help out, get stuff set up, let's go.
Thank you so much. Dean and I have been members of Prairie for 45 years, and it's wonderful to see how Prairie continues to grow. We're going to do a very short live auction. For those of you who are usually here for the service auction in the spring, this is just going to be a real quickie. No bid cards necessary. I think everybody, raise your right hand. Okay, I'm not seeing quite everybody. I'm not going to charge you anything for this. Okay. So Mary's going to help record the winners of the auction. We just have a few items. And I always like to mention that the purpose of the auction is to give money to Prairie and get a little something in return. And if you are not the high bidder, I encourage you to take the money you would have spent and go out and buy raffle tickets, because for $100, you get a lot of raffle tickets. It took me like 15 minutes to put all my tickets in little jars. And there was at least one jar that only had one ticket in it. So that person is going to win the item in that jar. So the more tickets in a jar, the lower your chances are of winning, or the opposite. So there are lots of fun things to win, and it all goes to help support Prairie, not just in this remodeling, but also going forward. So we have five items today, and two of them are items for groups of people. And just in case you haven't been part of this auction before, what we do then is you're bidding for one person. So for instance, the dinner by the Prairie Board, you're bidding for one ticket to that. And then when we get to the highest price, I will then ask who wants, how many tickets the person who's the high bidder wants, and then we'll do the other additional tickets. So for the dinner for the board, we have a total of 8 spots. And so this is going to happen on February 10th. The board will not only cook you a wonderful dinner, but they will help you eat it. And they do so much for Prairie, but cooking this meal is one more thing. So thank you to all the board members. Okay, left hand, how many people are on the board? Well, thank you, and we're looking forward to the meal very much. So I'm going to start. This is, again, on February 10th at Prairie. You get to enjoy the fruits of the new kitchen. And I'm going to start this at $25. Do I have a $25 bid? I've got 25. Do I have 30? I've got 30. Do I see 35? I've got 35. Can I go 40? I've got 40. Can I go 45? I've got 40. I've got 40. Do I see 45? I've got 45. Can I go 50? I've got 45. Can I go 50? I've got 50. Can I go 55? I've got 50. Can I go 55? I'm going to go with 50 because we have 8 spots. Mary, how many would you like? Okay, so I have 6 more. I've got Dean for 2 more. Let's keep me track here. That's 4. We've got 4 more. Chris, you guys figure it out.
Keep your hands up until. Oh, he's getting one. One.
We have more people, so you'll have to decide.
Okay, so we got.
Who would like a single ticket?
Did you get Nancy?
Yeah.
We got Nancy. We
have
the Nancy
here.
We got myself for 2 Dean.
Here, do you
want to
use the mic?
Nancy for 1, Andy for 1, and 2. So one more.
Barb Park.
Barb Park.
Thank you very much.
1.
So the next item, I promised this would go quickly. Marty Drapkin is a longtime Prairie member who is a fantastic photographer whose specialty is mothers and daughters. He doesn't discriminate. He also photographs fathers and sons, or non-binary individuals, or whoever would like. And we would like to bid on one photo shoot, but we have 2. So once we get to the high bid, we will have a second one. And I see that Marty is here today. I love his work. He often does works in black and white, but it's just, these are photos that I really treasure. So do I have a $100 bid? I've got 100, can I go 125? I've got 125, can I go 150? I've got 150, can I go 175? I've got 150 looking for 175. I've got 150. I've got 175. I've got 175. Can I go 200? I've got 175, 175 looking for 200. Sold for 175 for Barb. I've got one more at 175. Sold. Thank you very much. You get to pay immediately here. So our next item, Richard and Deesa have a new home on the east side of Madison that they include, that includes an Airbnb apartment with a separate entrance. It has 1.5 baths. It has 2 bedrooms, a living room, a partial kitchen. And if you've had visitors come from out of town recently, it's very hard to get an Airbnb. Some of the Airbnbs in Madison that we looked at for our family were $800 a night. So this is 2 nights. Obviously, it's dependent upon availability, and it's 2 nights valued at $300, and they would like me to start the bidding at $300. And I realize it's kind of a specific ask. So if you are interested in bidding on this item, would you raise your hand? Okay, so we're going to start at $300. I've got 300. Can I go 325? I've got 300. I've got 300. Do I see 325? Sold for $300. Thank you. Doesn't always go that fast. But, so the next one is for 8 people, and we're going to be bidding on a single person, and then we'll have 8 tickets. So Suzanne, where is Suzanne? In the back? Suzanne Garnart is a professional artist and a professional teacher. She's taught both adults and children, and this is going to be a workshop in which you create a piece of abstract art, and it's a great opportunity to explore your inner artist. And this is going to be on Saturday, January 21st at the Annex. So I would like to start with a $25 bid. Do I see 25? I've got 25. Do I see 30? I've got 30. You're bidding against yourself, but that's okay. I've got 30. I've got 35. Do I see 40? I've got a $35 bid. Do I see 40? I've got 40. Do I see 45? I've got 40, I'm looking for 45. I've got 40, I'm looking for 45. I've got 45, do I see 50? I've got 45, do I see 50? Do I see 50? Do I see 50? I'm gonna sell it out at, oh, I've got 50, thank you very much. I've got 50, I'm gonna sell it out at 50. We have room for 8 people. So raise your hand if you are in at $50. We've got 4, 5, we've got 3 more spots. 3 more spots.
Keep your hands up.
Keep your hands up. We don't have, oh.
Okay, we have
Do you want me to read it?
We have Jane Richards, Chris Porter.
Your mic's not on. Why don't you use this mic?
Okay.
Read them. Oh, Jane Richards, Nancy Schroffnagel, Barbara Park, Johanna Hatch, Barb Chatterton, Chris Porter, and who's the one more? Is there one more? Okay, Margaret Moses.
Okay, we're going to set a record for this auction. We're going to bring it in less than 8 minutes. because there's so much more fun stuff to do. So our very last item is a beautiful piece of jewelry, which is being modeled somewhere. Okay. So it's made by Margaret Moses, and hopefully you've had a chance to read about it, the fact that it is gold fill. So this is a necklace and a pair of earrings. Think ahead, Christmas is coming. And we're gonna walk through. It's a classic set, something that you could give to a young woman that she would wear the rest of her life, or you could wear it for a special occasion yourself.
Or you could eat Suzanne.
You could split it up, give the earrings to one person and the necklace to the other, although that would be a shame because they go so beautifully together. It really dresses up the basic black. Okay, I would like to start this at a bid of $150. Do I have a $150 donation to pray that coincidentally gets you a beautiful necklace and pair of earrings? I've got 150, thank you very much. Do I have 175? It's a $250 value. I've got 150, looking for 175. Do I have 175? How about 160? Do I see 160? I've got 150. I've got 150. Do I see 160? I'm going to sell it out. $150. Thank you very much. Enjoy the rest of the day.
All right, that's it for the time in here, except you can obviously wander around in our well-ventilated space. But there is a lot of things going on. You can see the raffle events out or raffle items outside. There's still plenty of time to buy tickets. There's going to be kids singing down right behind the annex. No? Kids are singing over here.